At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
You're listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, now part of the ChairShot Radio Network, on thechairshot.com. Remember, always use your head.
You look like a dude who should be pumping my fucking gas.
This isn't doing it for me. I'm not getting enjoyment out of this.
He was a before the bell rings all-star.
All right, everybody. It is Thursday night, August 21st, 2025. You are listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, part of the ChairShot Radio Network. I am the man with the award-winning and holy beard, DJ. I'm going to go like I do every week around the room and introduce this cast of characters that we have on this show. Starting with the resident high flyer of the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. He is Bucky's tag team partner. He has caused me to completely forget his entire intro because I am not prepared tonight. I've had a rough week, but he is Bucky's tag team partner. He is the man with the bionic back. He hails from the Purple Haze in Cloud 9, and he is destined to go through a barbershop window. Jason, sir, I hope your day is better than mine.
I'm doing great, my friends. It's a thrill to be back, as always, for episode number 200 and something, something.
258. My sentence continues. 258 episodes strong here on the Mindless Wrestling Podcast.
But consecutive.
Consecutive.
Yes.
Consecutive, yes. And the champion present for all 258 episodes, the host of the Rob the Genius Podcast. He is the minister of truth, the father of facts and figures, the deacon of data. He is the official shoot bear of the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. He's the king of the power nap. Ray Cash's daddy, he's got a fresh haircut, and the man with the golden shovel, Rob, sir, how you doing, bud?
Good, and I'm fully recovered from the bee sting from last week.
Rob had a long weekend, man. We're going to talk about that here in a little bit. We have got a really, really packed show for you guys tonight. We're going to start off talking, kicking around the room, talking about life like we try to do here every week. Going to talk about some, probably the biggest wrestling news this week as far as WWE goes. Then Rob is going to share his weekend. He did a big TNA weekend, two big shows this weekend. He's going to tell us all about that. Life changes. Told you guys last week, I talked to you a little bit candidly about my diabetes and my quest to get that under control. I'm very excited. I got a new treadmill today. Found a really good deal on a treadmill on Amazon, had Tina order it, and it just got here today. So before we went live and had dinner, I had went ahead and assembled that thing, and it's ready to go for tomorrow night. So I'm pretty excited about that.
Oh, excellent, excellent.
Yeah, I'm taking this serious, man. I got to start working out. That's one of the biggest things for me, not only now physically but mentally, is I've got to start taking my fitness serious again. It's imperative, so... So, Rob, what's new with you? Anything?
EJ.
Yes, sir.
EJ, please just promise me, you will do some walking outside. Because the fact that you were like, I need to work out. I live in Florida. I'm going to buy a treadmill. Made my outdoor-loving ass very upset.
All right.
So, my wife is also looking at me in complete abject horror right now.
For you lovely people who live in the great Northeast, Florida life is a fucking myth. Okay? Let me tell you about Florida from the end of May until about the middle of November. It's hot. Your balls stick to the inside of your thigh. It's too hot to go outside.
Sorry, buddy.
I didn't need to go there. But at any rate, it is so hot out here. It's too uncomfortable to be out there. There are people that do it. That will get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and go run their 10 miles and do their thing. but to really enjoy, like, the, because I love nature walks. We've got a few nature trails around here that I love doing. It's too hot.
Okay. That was all I was going to say. It's like, because I get the practicality of it, and I was going to say, okay, in August, probably not great walking outside in Florida. Please promise me you will not only use the treadmill, that if you're like, I'm going to walk X amount today, you will do some of it outside.
I will do
because
some of it outside.
I say that from experience. It has been one of the best things for my mental health, not just walking with my dog, but just being outside in the universe. It's very, very helpful. So that's my little 2 cents.
Trust me, I get plenty of outside nature time. I love being outside. I love doing that. I hate doing it in Florida from like June 1st to August 30th. It's just too miserable. It's too hot. When I don't mind being hot. I don't mind being sweaty when I work out, things like that, and doing something that requires sweating, mowing the lawn, things like that. But if I'm just standing outside and I'm dripping in sweat, that sucks. And it's just too hot to be out there walking around. So, yeah, not going to do that. Going to use my treadmill. Going to use my gym equipment. That's going to be my thing for a while. But that, Jason, I promise you, I will get outside.
I appreciate you, sir.
Okay. Rob, anything new with you?
Rob will tell you. Like, me and my wife love walking.
Yes. Yes, they do. And it's funny, 'cause when we went to WrestleMania, that first, you know, I was not used to you guys doing all that walking. And after a while, I was like, you gotta be kidding me.
But look at all the cool shit we saw along the way, Rob.
Yeah, okay, but when we went back this year, I was ready for you guys.
You were. You were. You were a trooper this year, man, and we were walking all over that city.
I wish I had known Jason and Emily when I lived in New York, because, brother, I walked and I walked and I walked. Now, some parts of New York you gotta take the subway to. But I would take the subway to that destination, and then I would walk everywhere. Just everywhere. All over the place, man. I would put in 10, 15 miles a day going out in the city and walking, and you guys would have loved every minute of it with me.
Moral of the story, walk outside, kids.
Yeah, because, as much as I've complained about having to go back to the office, one good thing about, one silver lining to having to go back to the office is I get my walking in every day now.
There you go. All it takes, man. Just be active, stay outside, go see the universe. I know it sucks out there. Go see it anyway. One day your eyes are going to close, it's all going to be over. So,
as we tell everybody on this show on an almost weekly basis, touch some grass, see some sunshine, breathe some fresh air.
All right.
It's all good. So, back to what I was doing. Rob, anything new with you?
Not really. I finished some things at work. That I've been working on, and we're nearing the end of the fiscal year, so it's always good to be finishing things. And you know, so the last couple of weeks of the fiscal year, you can relax a little bit more. But other than that, I cut my hair, as you can see, because it was getting out of control. And you know, because my hair goes from like the first 2 weeks, it'll hardly grow at all. And then once I get to like the third week and the fourth week, then it just starts, it's like a damn chia pit on top of my head. It just shoots out. And so if I wait too long, it gets really uncontrollable. So, I just went ahead and a couple of days ago, I just cut it.
Cut it off. Yeah. I'm about due myself. Mine's starting to get that chia pit thing going on too. So, all right. Jason, sir, with your walk-a-thons and your walkabouts and your walk it like you talk it, what's going on with you? Anything new? As you're on mute.
I'm blanking here. Like, I'm just sitting here like, I don't even know what's new. I don't know. Next week I'm probably buying our tickets for Bound for Glory, so that's exciting.
All right.
And, yeah.
You guys are doing that together,
Rob's
right?
Up, and we're gonna. Rob's hopefully. Well, Rob's gonna stay with us, and it's gonna be a lot of fun. So that's the. I mean, yeah, you caught me off guard, man. Because like this week, I'm like, nope, nothing. I'm still doing that thing I was excited about at work. Like how I told you, you know, everything kind of clicked in the last couple of weeks. Yeah. That continues to move the way it was moving, so I'm very, very happy over there, too. So, yeah, nothing new to report, just all good.
Yeah, as we talked a little bit about earlier, it's still hot here in Florida, but the weather, as Jason so rudely rubbed it in our faces the other day, is starting to turn up where Jason and Rob are, starting to get a little bit more fall-ish temperatures. You're in the oil business, so I would imagine that's going to start ramping up pretty soon.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We are getting ready, baby.
Yeah. All right. Yep.
Heating season is upon us. Excuse me. Heating season is upon us.
All right. It's going to be a good one. Heating season usually happens around here about December 23rd, and it's over by about January 2nd. So that's not all we get for heating season in Florida. It's terrible. So, all right. We've done enough of that. Let's get into talking a little bit of wrestling here. And the first thing that we want to do is congratulate. Big news this week. Some lot of speculation over the last 7 days. We chose not to speculate on this show last week. We chose to play it cool until we had some actual things to talk about, and now we do. Naomi had been conspicuous at Raw by her absence. She finally came out this week, dropped a bombshell. Not really a bombshell because, again, of all the speculation, that she is indeed pregnant. Her and the man known as Jimmy Uso are expecting a child, and I think that's awesome. As a dad, as a person, and just knowing that this is something they've wanted for a long time, that's awesome. Like, super, super awesome for them. Like, I'm like legitimately excited for them.
Yeah, it was awesome to hear because, I mean, the way it played out with all of a sudden Naomi is not medically cleared and all this stuff. Like, we all speculate privately. The wild speculation online, that's once again, we're just going to shake our fingers at all you and shake our heads at all you idiots, because heaven forbid it wasn't, you know, pregnancy and it was something negative, bad. Like, because all I could kept thinking is, guys, we've run the gamut of, you know, I'm going to leave, you're going to be a champion and I'm going to be a mother, I am cleared. And we've also done, you know, my name is Joe, and I've had leukemia for, et cetera. Like, so the wild speculation online, no matter what it was, don't, because they see it. Anyway, if you look at all thankfully, it seemed to lead out that what was going on, especially when the Steph podcast dropped. And that was completely unedited, and that was a non-insignificant part of it. But anyway, all that to say, stop speculating about people's private lives and where they can see them anyway. You're all going to gossip anyway. But anyway, congratulations, Big Jim. Congratulations, Naomi. I'm super excited. Like, this is awesome. Hearing them tell their story of, you know, thinking this was never ever going to happen. So they were just kind of doing their thing, and lo and behold, it happened. So again, probably coolest news of their life, I would imagine. And they said so on Steph's podcast. So wow, awesome. Congratulations. And, also speculating about wrestling storylines at this point is weird. So stop that too. It'll all shake out, guys. That's all I got.
And I'm going to take this time to scold you people. As I always do. Again, like Jason said, stop speculating. Because here's the thing, right? There have been a few women there who had, who've had miscarriages. Who've had other, you know, situations where they had to terminate a pregnancy. There are women there who have been trying to have children unsuccessfully, right? And so when you jump out there and say, oh, somebody's pregnant, you know, and they're not, like, if Naomi and Jimmy, you know, if they had been trying unsuccessfully, and you're like, oh, she's pregnant, and it's not working for them, then, you know, they see that, and they feel like shit, okay? Or, you know,
also,
it just,
whatever it is at that point is probably less ideal than pregnancy. So yeah, it's a double whammy, guys.
Yeah, if it's something, and then if it's something else, right? And then a lot of times, a lot of you people, if one of the women wrestlers is gone for like, if they're off TV for a month, you know, y'all start jumping out there like, oh, is she pregnant? I mean, and then the very worst of you all will go as far as to hope some of these women get pregnant so that they'll get taken off of TV and somebody you want will get put in their space.
Okay. Unfortunately, I saw way more of that than I wished I had.
Yeah, and those of you who do that, you are vile, disgusting people. And, you know, if I ever hear one of you talking like that, you know, if I'm within earshot of you, and if I feel like I don't have anything to lose or may not get incarcerated or anything for it, I might just come smack you in the face. Okay?
Rob's going full Will Smith on this one.
Because, no, I mean, you know what, I mean... It's just gross, man.
Speculating about people's personal lives like that, yes, especially when the alternatives, you know, just stop being weird, guys.
Yeah, exactly. Stop being weird. And then also those of you who are now y'all who got upset because she got pregnant. Why'd she get pregnant now? This is the biggest part of her career. Guys, you know.
Biology is the biology, ladies and gentlemen.
And especially when you have been trying and you've been unsuccessful, like you can't put it on your Google calendar and just say, okay, you know, September 15th, 2026, get pregnant, right? You know, I mean, no, you can't. It doesn't work that way.
There are some people that do that. They're like, okay, there are some people that are just like those uber professional minded people that say, okay, we have this in mind for our career. Let's pencil that in. But Naomi has been very vocal on social media about how her and Big Jim get down. Okay, so they're pretty open about how they like to do business. And so it probably wasn't a thing that they were either A, planning, but also B, actively preventing. So it's one of those things where it's like, if it happens, it happens, and it's going to happen organically and naturally, and that's what happened here. And you don't plan that, because I don't know about the rest of the sexually active folks in the world, but I don't like to pencil that in. You know, I like spontaneity, you know.
Listen, man, we don't even have to speculate. Big Jim said so on the podcast, on Stephanie's podcast. Like, he's like, Big Jim has not proceeded with caution for a long, long time.
Right.
And it stemmed from the fact that she went through these fertility treatments and they tried and they tried and they tried and it wasn't happening.
Yeah. So, yeah, if you're a sexually active person, sometimes you're spontaneous. And sometimes in that spontaneity, a miracle happens. And this is what happened here. And for them, this is a miracle. And it's a wonderful thing. And yes, it's at the peak of the biggest moment in her career. And something, as Naomi fans, we have been dying for years. To finally see her not just be treated like an afterthought and not be just given a, well, here you go, damn, shut up, title reign. Like, it was legit. Like, this was a legitimate run they were doing with her. They finally pushed her, strapped the rocket to her, and she showed the world what she can do. So yeah, the timing on it from a certain point of view is what it is. But the reality of it is,
I'm glad you invoked our friend Mr. Kenobi there, because, or Master Kenobi there, because it also, if, whatever, it's kind of like a cherry on top to this whole thing.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
She had the biggest professional run she's ever had. Like, the best, in my opinion, anyway, and probably the numbers are good. Like, she had the best run ever, and then her husband and her have a real-life miracle.
The like, beauty...
Hey, in my book, that's pretty friggin' cool.
The beauty of this situation... Go ahead, Rob, because I've got a thought.
We also, I mean, guys, she's not, you know, she didn't just get promoted to, like, vice president of Dunder Mifflin or something here, okay? Like, she's not going to lose, like, they're going to be okay, all right? Like, yeah. You know, they're not going to be short on money because she has to take time off from work.
Right.
Like, she's not going to lose her job, you know, what unfortunately happens to way too many women in this country because she got pregnant, okay? This is not that, okay? So, when you say it happened at the biggest point of your career, she will be back after she has the child and has spent sufficient enough time at home with the child. She will be back and she will resume her career. This is not, you know, again, you know, she's fortunate to be in a profession, and she's fortunate to be working in this industry in 2025 when it is much more, you know, minimal to things like women wrestlers getting pregnant, right? There was a time where it would have been a career ender for her, yes. But she's not working, this is not 1985, thankfully. So, you don't need to get all crazy because she had, yes, she got pregnant at the very apex of her career. You don't have to worry about it. You don't need to get crazy about it. You don't. Okay. You really don't.
And real life always trumps, a real life miracle like that always trumps any wrestling story ever. So.
Yes.
Be right. Quiet.
And to piggyback.
Look, you know, you can watch everything she did this year on Peacock. Okay.
Yeah.
You can.
To all piggyback right. off it's what Bob right was
there.
Saying.
It's all right there.
To piggyback so, off.
Yeah. I mean.
Each.
Yeah. To piggyback off what Rob was saying, when we talk about her being at the pinnacle of her career, this is both wonderful for us Naomi fans, and it's going to piss those of you off that want her off TV and are applauding the fact that she's going to be off TV so your indie favorites can get moved up the ladder. She has created a character that is going to come right back in and jump right back into the lane that she was in. Okay? She has given them something meaty that they can use on TV. And the baby face pop she's going to get when she comes back in 18, 24 months, however long she decides to take between the pregnancy and raising a baby and, you know, whatever she decides to do with her time, the baby face pop she can bring back the exactly the way it is now. Come back in 2 years and she's going to blow the roof off the place. And I'm going to love every second of it because she is going to slide right back where she was. And it's going to be great. So, again, from the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, Big Jim, Naomi, both of you, congratulations. That is just awesome, awesome news. And bring a wonderful, beautiful, healthy baby into the world. That's all we can ask here. So,
amen.
Yes, sir.
I said amen.
Oh, amen. I thought you said hey, man. Okay. So, our friend, co-host Robert, had a big weekend this weekend. TNA had not only a premium live event, but a TV taping, and Robert was present for both of them. I'm going to let Rob take over the floor here and tell us a little bit about his weekend. Rob, it's all yours.
How are you? Okay, so last Friday, TNA had one of their, we call it like B pay-per-views, Emergence, and Saturday they had a TV taping, and they were both in Baltimore. They're about 15 minutes from here. So, like I said last week, if you have a chance to go see something, you know, if it's close, you can get to it, and, you know, the price is right for you, you should just go. And so I did that. I went to both nights, and so the first night was Emergence, and it opened up with the very match I was talking about last week wanting to see, which was Leon Slater and Cedric Alexander, and that match was everything we hoped it would be. I mean, after them, it was kind of like, okay, good luck following this. Okay. And, you know, so, I mean, that was just an excellent opener. And then, but lo and behold, right afterwards, came Mustafa Ali and Matt Cardona. And while they didn't, you know, if the first match was 4 stars, they didn't do 4 stars, but they had a very good match themselves. And Mustafa Ali's whole group, Order 4, like they play very well on TV, but they play better in person. And like they are an old, dastardly, like kind of old school kind of heel stable or faction. And so Matt Cardona won with a roll-up, and they came in and they beat the dog shit out of him. Okay, and it's one of those old-school heel factors where if you do manage to win, then that might be the worst thing that could actually happen to you that night, because they're going to come in and beat the shit out of you.
And
so they had a good one, and the Hardy, you know, Matt and Jeff, they defended against the tag team titles against the Rascals. And I've said it before, look, Matt and Jeff they're in the perfect lane for their career right now. And especially working in TNA, because they just come in there and play the hits, and they did that. And the Rascals were great opponents for them to have. They had a really good match, and you know they won. And of course, everybody loves Matt and Jeff. You know, everybody still loves them everywhere they go. And you know, and so, you know, they were way over with us. And then came the main event was Moose versus Trick Williams. And to be honest, I went in, I figured it would be fine. But it was much more than that. Moose is from Baltimore. So he came out there like, I'm going to do some extra shit tonight. Okay.
Moose put the work boots on.
Yeah. And so he pulled some stuff out that I had never seen him do during a match. And for he sprinted up the turnbuckle and did a springboard drop kick or something like that. And guy his size doing that is remarkable, as it is. He's a big dude. And also, look, Trick Williams owns every building he comes out in. I've seen him in person now two or three times over the last year. All right. Mark it down. In 5 years, he should be the number one guy on the main roster in 5 years. Okay, I know that's a big prediction, but I'm calling it.
He has all of it.
Yeah, I mean, because, and he's become, and I know that there have been concerns in the past about his ring work, but he has gotten so much better over the past year. And he and Moose had great chemistry together. They had a really good match. But Trick Williams is just star. He owns the building every time he comes out there. And, you know, and so the next night was the TV taping, and as more evidence of this. So basically, between the pay-per-view and then the TV taping, we saw Trick Williams come out there about three or four times in 2 days. Okay. And guess what? Every time he came out there, he owned the building. There was, at no point was it, okay, we've seen you three times, now we're tired, every dude. No, that did not happen. Okay. Every time he came out there, it was a big deal. All right. I can't say enough about that guy. And I mean, basically, for all intents and purposes, he's Booker T's son, basically, in terms of wrestling.
Yeah. He's his wrestling child. I mean, yeah.
Yes. I mean, and for all intents and purposes. And I think, look, you know, Booker loves him to death. You know, you can just hear him on commentary. You know, look, I'm sure he sees this guy can do everything I did plus everything I wanted to do. I think, okay. And I think that's the way Booker sees Trick. And I think, you know, I see him the same way, right? So the TV taping was the second night, and Cedric, and I don't know if this match will make it to TV or not, but they had a match with Cedric and Leon Slater teamed up against the Hardys, and that was really fun. And you know, Mike Santana is way over too, man. And that's another look. That guy, you know what? He split up with a partner in AEW, and he came to back to TNA as a singles wrestler. And we say bet on himself. He bet on himself. I don't think anybody called him, except for him, maybe, believed that he was going to be able to turn this into this. But I mean, he comes out through the crowd. He came out right near us, Saturday night. And I might make it onto the TV, you know, because, you know, we'll see. He's a guy I totally overlook. Look, if there's a breakout wrestler of the year, he's the guy you got to consider for that, because considering that he came back to TNA as one, you know, a guy who used to be one half of a tag team, and now everything is lined up for him to win the world championship with Bound for Glory. And he and Trick play off of each other really well. They're great adversaries. And, you know, just again, you know, seeing them work together is really fun. And anything else? So yeah, I mean, there's a lot of good stuff going on TNA. I know Trick's an NXT guy, but what he's doing there right now has been really good. Order 4 is great, you know, with Ali and the Hardys. Again, the Hardys are doing great stuff. Leon Slater. If you are at all curious about TNA, this is a time where if you're curious about it, this is the time to try it out. If you were an old TNA fan from the AJ Styles days, and you know you've been hearing about it again, and you're thinking about checking out again, this is the time to do it. They got some really good stuff going on. It was a really fun weekend.
All right. So it sounds like you had a good time. Yeah, if they come anywhere around here, I'm definitely going to go. They used to hit this little town near me called Kissimmee. It's in between here and Orlando that they were going to for a little while before they really started to blow up. I doubt they'll hit that market again. But if they come to Orlando or anywhere in the near vicinity, maybe even Daytona, I would absolutely go check out a TNA show, especially if it's a premium event or a TV taping. I'm digging what I've seen so far on their TV program. And this business relationship, working relationship with NXT and WWE has been just so huge for them. Because now we're talking, and we've talked on this show, and again, I'm going to kind of take a small victory lap here. I have been saying for the better part of 2 years, AEW had better look in the rearview mirror because TNA is gaining ground. And obviously it took a bit of a partnership, more of a bit of a partnership with WWE to get there, but that kind of proves my point. Because AEW had a partnership with TNA that was the shits, and no one benefited from it, especially not TNA. Now here we are, WWE partners with them, and yeah, an NXT guy is their world champion, and actually, isn't an NXT girl the Knockouts champion right now?
Oh yeah, Jason Jane.
Yep. Jane's a Knockouts champion right now. But yeah, this is going somewhere. Like, it's leading to a satisfying payoff, and we're going to get that, and it's just been huge. Now TNA, like we've talked about on this show, the only thing they were really missing was a big-time TV deal. And now we're talking about that. Like, we're having these discussions now that now TNA may be looking for a real TV deal, and it may even slide into one of WWE's old slots. So the ground that they've covered is not only you can credit WWE to a point, but you have to credit the talent in TNA. They're putting on great work. They're going out. They're bringing the brand back. And that's so fun to see, and it really is just the it's always been the little engine that could. TNA was, and now they had their rise in the initial one with the AJ Styles, Samoa Joe, Christopher Daniels era in the beginning, and then it kind of fell off, and then it fell off hard, and now we're starting to see this brand rebuild itself, and it's been fun. It's an amazing ride, and I'm excited to see where they go with it, excited to see what the future holds with this merger or this business working relationship with them in WWE. Jason, you got any final thoughts before we go to a break?
The secret to their sauce has always been, since I started watching again in 2015, their secret to their sauce has always been they never, ever take themselves too seriously. They always, they understand what pro wrestling is over at Impact and at TNA. So and just seeing them, again, they're doing it now, with some of the stuff they're doing. So yeah, it's awesome to see. And yeah, they've been a cable deal away for a while.
Yeah, and now we're here, and let's see what happens in the next 2 years, because we may be having some different discussions about the pecking order of professional wrestling in North America. I truly believe that. So we are going to take a quick break. When we come back from the break, we've got two watch-alongs for you tonight. We're going to watch two exciting matches. I'll tell you what those are on the backside of the break. Before we go to break, though, I want to invite you to go over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. From there, you can look at, browse, peruse, if you will, all the t-shirt options available from your favorite Chairshot Radio Network podcasts, including the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. Yes, you heard your ears right. We have a t-shirt there. If you want to represent us, represent your brands, represent the podcast. Go over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. The starving artists on these shows will thank you. Your bodies will thank you if you spend a couple extra bucks and pick one up in soft style. Again, that is prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. We're going to break, and when we come back, we got a couple of watch-alongs.
Why should you visit thechairshot.com? Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
All right, and we are back. As always, you're listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. We have two watch-alongs here, as I told you before the break. First one we want to get into is from WCW, because we do like going back to that era of wrestling. We're not always WWE here, and there was some really great wrestling to be had in WCW back in the day, and we are going back to what I feel like is a peak work rate era of WCW. I have long said, not only, you know, on the app formerly known as Twitter, but here on this show, WCW's roster from like 1992 to 1996, I would stack up against any roster in any era, including the current era. There were just some really, really excellent, excellent in-ring talent. This was really before the sports entertainment era of Hulk Hogan coming to WCW really got into full swing. The match that we're about to watch, we are about 2 months into Hulk Hogan coming on board. He came in June of 1994. This match is from August of 1994. It is from Clash of the Champions. If you want to watch along with us, it is on the Peacock. You'll have to look up Clash of the Champions. It is Season 1, Episode 20. It's Clash of the Champions, Episode 20. The match is Stunning Steve Austin versus Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. And I chose this match for a particular reason, because one, being a huge Stone Cold Steve Austin fan, you got to really go back and understand what a workhorse that guy was to understand why it was so important for a lot of us and why he became such a big star, not in the sense that we all saw this coming, but you watch Stone Cold Steve Austin and his style after the neck injury was so much different. Like, there's a lot of punching, a lot of kicking, a lot of brawling, a lot of gimmicked up matches. And people who didn't live through his WCW career really have no point of reference on how good he was in the ring. And when I really became a big fan of Steve Austin, the wrestler, was in 1994. He had a series of matches with Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, and the one we're going to watch tonight is for the WCW World Television Champion, and Steve Austin was champion at the time. I believe he was part of the Dangerous Alliance, and this match is kind of fun because it's a no DQ match. Paulie Dangerously, you would know him now as Paul Heyman, is the manager of the Dangerous Alliance. He comes out with Steve Austin, but the stipulation is Paul Lee has to go in the shark cage. You know, obviously the Dangerous Alliance being a heel faction, obviously prone to interfering in matches. We're now going to kill all that noise. Paul Lee is going in the cage, and we have a no DQ match for that championship. This is Clash of the Champions, Season 1, Episode 20. The timestamp on this one is 9 minutes and 20 seconds. This was the opening match of the card, and it's a hell of a way to get the crowd hot. Jason, Rob, you guys ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, we are going to start the countdown in 3, 2, 1, go. And we are off to the races here. There's Paul E. Dangerously, Stunning Steve Austin. Look at that hair. He's got hair on his head, guys. Got the surfer cut going on.
They both got hair. Paul has hair, too.
Yeah, they do.
And Paul with the old brick phone.
Yes. So this is actually, it's Clash of the Champions, though the neon in the back says WCW Saturday Night, and this is where they had started to put this on. Now they aired these on Saturdays. So Steve Austin is the WCW World Television Championship. Looks like a complete hoss here. He's kind of lean. He's not as thick as he would be later on. Look at this guy. Johnny B. Bad, why is he out here?
I have no idea.
I haven't watched this in so long. It's crazy. So for whatever reason, Johnny B. Badge out here. I have the sound off, so.
Okay. I turned the volume down.
Yeah, I forgot I had it up. So we have a guest ring announcer here. I'm not sure who this young lady is. She looks terrified.
Yes. Oh, she's singing the.
Oh, okay. She's singing the. I got it. Okay. I wasn't sure. Like I said, it's been forever. We're listening to the national anthem.
So why are Steve and Steamboat feuding at this point?
I think they're feuding over the title, and plus the baby faces for most of this year before the Hogan stuff started, you know, the baby faces were feuding. The Dangerous Alliance was basically feuding with all the baby faces. You know, Sting and Steamboat and, you know, and whoever else came along, Nikita Koloff, the Steiners. And so, Ricky was feuding with Steve over the TV title here as part of that whole big thing.
Gotcha.
This era, go ahead, Rob.
The Dangerous Alliance, I mean, they weren't together long, but they're one of the underrated factions of our time.
That's because Paul Lee saw all the talent that was there. I mean, he saw Steve Austin coming probably ages before anybody did. He knew what the guy had.
Oh, yeah.
And I think had Hogan not come on board, like, I don't think we would have gotten Stone Cold Steve Austin. Like, history happened the way it was meant to. But I truly believe that if Hogan hadn't come along, if WCW hadn't fundamentally changed its business model, Steve Austin would have been a world champion in WCW at some point. I firmly believe that. He had everything they liked.
And, I mean, look, he had the cosign from pretty much everybody there.
Yeah.
From, you know, from guys like Rick all the way on down, I mean.
Yeah, he was earmarked for much bigger things. So here's the shark cage. Paulie is begrudgingly going in. But this match really, he's trying to escape.
He's trying to run.
But this match, in 1994, I was solidly in my work rate era phase. Like, Bret Hart was my guy, and anybody who could go in there and tear the house down once the bell rang, I didn't really care if they had a huge personality. I wanted to see in-ring talent, and in 1994, I defy you to find two guys who were better than the two that are about to do it here.
Yeah.
Steamboat in incredible shape. Got the ribs taped up.
I definitely played this match in some sort of showcase in one of the WWE 2Ks, by the way. This is some sort of classic.
Yeah.
Well, this whole series of matches, like, they had three really, really good. They had a trilogy of matches, and I had to figure out which one I wanted to watch, because they had one prior to this at Bash at the Beach the month earlier, which was about 25 minutes long, and it was a hell of a good match. I chose this one for time because we were going to do two watch-alongs tonight. And this one, sometimes the shorter matches are even better because the guys have to pick up the pace a little bit. Like, there's not a lot of downtime, there's not a lot of breathing time in these shorter matches, so it forces the workers to work a little harder. And I think this ends up being benefits from that shortened time period. Paulie hollering.
To work right away.
Yeah. Just a simple side headlock Steamboat puts on there, and he makes it look like something.
Yeah.
And the way Austin sells it is part of what helps that. Look at that guy move. Float over, side head back into the side headlock. We are nice.
Mm-hmm.
These guys had great chemistry. Oh, there's the wrestling hotline.
Wrestling hotline.
$0.99 a minute. Wow.
Oh, Again, starting off a little slow here. Had a couple of high spots, but why are we panning to the crowd here? Okay.
The suits. God bless.
And I always love these Clash of the Champions shows because they were always free.
Yeah, I mean, and then, you know, and you got to get matches like this, and where, I mean, a lot of the matches on these Clash of the Champions shows were pay-per-view quality matches.
They were.
What channel was it on?
TBS.
On TBS.
Oh, wow. Steve, man.
He's moving around in there. He was a mobile young guy.
That elbow drop.
Yeah.
Yeah. Woo. And back to a side headlock here.
Yeah.
Paulie's screaming on top of his lungs. I know they announced at the beginning of this.
To see Steve before his knees were paper mache.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But you watch him, like, go back and watch old WCW and early WWF when he first made the jump. Watch him move around in that ring. He's so mobile. It's little wonder his knees went out on him like he did. Like, I've gone back and historically watched older Steve Austin stuff. He's so animated in his selling. And the way he moves around the ring, his legs took a beating.
Yeah.
Nice shot of the belt. That's a good looking belt, too.
Well, classic.
WCW had nice looking championships.
Yes, they did. Great belts.
Steve Austin, well, that's enough of that side headlock shit, pal.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of the rattlesnake.
Oh, it was always in there. He just, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes you just got to find the gear, and he just wasn't finding it here. But he found something that worked. Like, Stunning Steve was a great heel. Like, it really was. That was unique. Thought he was going to go for like a belly-to-belly there, and he ended up doing like a flapjack type of thing.
And I ripped the tape off.
Yep. And now we work the ribs. Austin's taking over here.
They're not pulling any bunches.
No.
No, Steamboat's selling the backbreaker and everything, man.
Yeah. No, these guys never pulled anything on either one of them. Like, every one of their matches was hard hitting. It was, you know, it was snug. It was good looking stuff. There we go. Everybody pops for the flare chops. Steamboat could chop you pretty well, too.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think I'd want him chopping me all night.
No, but he and Ridge usually just tear each other up.
Oh, yeah.
Huh. Steve took one earlier that I was just like, whoop.
And that's the way he liked him. And he told you, he'll tell you straight up, he liked that Smash Mouth style. Like, yeah. I would love to have seen peak Steve Austin versus like peak Sheamus or something like that.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah.
That would have been good stuff. Like good just Smash Mouth wrestling. Good elbow into the ribs, really working those injured ribs over.
And he's just digging his fingers in his side.
And that looks like Jesus, dude. He's like rolling the skin up.
Yeah.
Ow! That's hurting me. going for it again. Nope, Steamboat's had enough of that. Ricky getting fired up. Nice cross body, reversal.
Damn.
Oh, this is why Steve Austin doesn't do drop kicks. Yeah. Now we've picked up the pace.
Yeah, man. They lean into everything.
Yeah. Austin with the foot on the ropes.
That's a pin.
A tombstone? What is this? Nope. It's going to reversal.
Nope.
Oh, ah! I thought that was the coolest damn spot when I first saw it. And again, smart move by Steamboat. He hit him with the big move, was going to go for the pin, sold the ribs for a couple of seconds, which gives Austin a couple seconds, and now you have a believable kick out after a big move.
And he didn't do a strong pin either.
Right, he just kind of collapsed over top of him. The little stuff matters, guys.
Yeah.
No, not going to get the second rope superplex. Splat. Oh. Oh, guts.
Oh, intercepted. Oh, small package.
No, it's a reversal. Started off a little slow, but once at about the 5-minute mark, these guys hit the gas and they have not stopped. Conditioning on these guys is excellent.
Oh, yeah.
The shoulder tackle pin palooza.
We're going to skin the cat.
Go.
There it is. Come on, Ricky. Oh, that was great. What a good spot that was.
Yeah.
Where's Ricky going?
Ricky went under the ring.
Going all the way around.
Austin has no idea where he's at. Ricky's out the other side of the ring. Austin looking at up crossbody. We have a new champion.
And got him.
Jesus. Under the ring.
He outsmarted him, man.
Incredible.
Good wrestling shenanigans.
This is why we watch professional wrestling, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. For the silliness. I tell you what, though, when they announced this match, they did announce it as no DQ, and they really didn't utilize the no DQ stipulation, if I can say it. All right, well, I think
didn't do anything.
No, they really didn't. It didn't. It barely even left the ring.
Interesting.
All right, well, that's going to do it for our first watch-along. I hope you guys, if you watched it along with us, you enjoyed that little trip down memory lane. We are going to take another short break. When we come back, we are going to fast-forward probably a good 25 years. We are going to go to SummerSlam 2021. This is a match of Rob's choosing, and I'll let him talk us into this when we get back from the break.
TheChairShot.com. always use your head.
All right, we are back one more time for one more watch along tonight. This one is from SummerSlam 2021. I'm going to kick it over to my co-host Rob, and he's going to take over the duties from here. Rob, the floor is yours again.
Okay, well, the theme going forward are things that happened on this date in history. And before we get to this match, I'm going to our buddy Maddie in our group chat pointed out today that this is the 43rd anniversary of someone who I'm a big fan of, Mr. Paul David Hewson. And he and his wife, Allie, got married 43 years ago. And you may know Paul David Hewson by his stage name. That is Bono. So happy anniversary, Bono and Allie.
Oh, there you Paul, go.
And Paul was one of the names that I pitched for my son, Miles. And it, as you, well, his name's Miles, so obviously.
You lost that fight.
But anyhow, on this date in history, 4 years ago, and it was one of, in the early days of this show, actually, this was one of, I think it's one of the first pay-per-views we either previewed or reviewed or whatever. It was SummerSlam 2021. And a month prior, a great injustice had been performed in the world of professional wrestling.
God, and that is terrible.
This little
named
Nikki, this little woman named Nikki Cross used this, the vile Money in the Bank briefcase to steal the Raw Women's Championship from the woman who had just earned it in the ring the night before. So a month later, there was an opportunity for justice to be served. Okay. There was an opportunity to right a great wrong. And that opportunity was at SummerSlam 2021. And so now, I'm sorry, I can't keep it together. I'm sorry. Look, all right, this is a triple threat match for the Raw Women's title at SummerSlam 2021. Nikki Cross was the defending champion, and her two challengers were Rhea Ripley and the 14-time women's champion. It was not number, she wasn't the 14-time champion at the time. But, of course, she is the 14-time women's champion now. But, yes, the two challengers were Rhea Ripley and Charlotte Flair, and this is at SummerSlam 2021.
All right, so while he's laughed it off, this is SummerSlam.
I'm terrible. I know, I'm terrible.
That's okay. I knew it was coming. As soon as I looked up the match, I'm like, this dude.
I didn't know until I finally got to timestamp a few seconds ago, and I finally saw some Nikki A.S.H. promo, and I went, "Oh, you're sick,
and
you're really sick." You know that.
And I'm gonna hit Rob with some very, very wild time data when this match is over, because you mentioned this was at the early beginnings of this podcast. No, this podcast is older than I give it credit for, and I'm gonna talk about that at the tail end of this match. If you want to watch along with us, this is, again, on the Peacock. It is SummerSlam Season 34, Episode 2 from 2021. The timestamp is 1 hour, 51 minutes, 30 seconds. Rob, you want to count us down?
Yes. Okay, here we go. Ahead. You guys ready?
Ready.
All right. Whoop. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Look at that champion. She's having so much fun out there. Look at her. Not a care in the world. Happy to be there, smiling, kissing babies, hugging old people.
Point. You shouldn't just be happy to be there.
Okay. Oh, look at all the kids. Look at all the kids so excited that she's there. Wow.
Well, that was taller than her. Look at that. I mean.
Oh, right.
Sorry.
You know what? I give her credit, all the credit in the world, for, because this was 100% her idea, and she went full bore with it. They put it on TV, and for 20 minutes, it worked. It really did.
Yeah, I don't think it ever had a long shelf life.
It didn't, but in the moment, I think
it was fun.
They sold a lot of merch, and it was fun. Rob didn't have fun.
No.
Oh, man.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
And here comes
Rob, you're rooting for Doomsday right now.
Here comes this one, the second, third of the triple threat, a very, very green Rhea Ripley, who has come so far in her presentation.
Yeah.
Like, I was not a fan of this short-haired look at all. It just, she just looks overall better with hair. Her face, the way it's angled, and just, she has very sharp features, and having the hair frame the face just is a different look. It's a better look for her. But they knew they had something here.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. She's got just force of personality at the wazoo.
And we got to remember here, we are still fresh out of the pandemic. Like, we've literally only been open back up to fans for a couple months here. So you still got people in the crowd with masks on. I believe at one point, because Roman wrestles on this show, and I think at one point he has to go into the crowd, he puts a mask on, if that was the show. I don't remember.
That was the next one.
That was the next one? Okay. I know there was a show where he had to fight out in the crowd, and he ends up putting a mask on.
One of the greatest moments in the history of our sport, our considerate and health-conscious tribal chief.
Yes.
God, what a star she's turned into.
But I mean, really, from this point, how much has she changed?
Other than her look, not much.
I mean, but the presentation, yeah. It was just watching her like on the ring apron there and like going up on the turnbuckle. I'm like, yeah, it was always there. She's just evolved like a Pokemon.
Well, they fine tuned it. They've polished it up. This is still a bit rough. It's a rough cut of what we're gonna get, like a beta test. But
she's much better at talking now.
I mean, but this part aside, like right now, like the being a star, she had that.
And you said I was rooting for Doomsday. No, I'm not rooting for Doomsday. I'm rooting for Thanos.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You're rooting for Thanos here with the Infinity Gauntlet gear and everything. Look at her. Oh, this is sick. You're a sick man, man.
We like to put Jason through his courses here, and now we're putting him through chaos.
You know what my favorite part of Avengers is? When Thanos snaps Spider-Man, and Spider-Man, who all the kids love, disappears. And Rob's favorite frame of time was when, you know, before Endgame came out, when all the little kids were like, is Spider-Man going to come back? He's like, no, Spider-Man's gone.
If don't you children understand, you know, the universe needed, was eating too much food and half of them needed to go.
Yeah.
it needed to be perfectly balanced.
Yes.
Jokes aside, this gear is absolutely sick.
Rhea's in the ring making fun of how long it's taken Charlotte to get to the ring. I never caught that before. I've probably seen this match three or four times, and I've totally forgot about that one. I catch something in stuff like this every time I watch it.
The queen moves on her schedule.
And meanwhile, Rhea's watching the clock like, hello?
Well, it was better. Look, like, I mean, the Royal Rumble this year, she did like she was reaching Undertaker territory.
Yes. God, I can't believe this was 4 years ago.
Yeah.
Crazy. Oh. That's insane.
Rhea's grown her hair out and joined a gang. Left the gang. Nikki A.S.H. has joined a cult. And Charlotte's best friends with a former cult member.
Yes.
My God.
A former, again, like, demon queen.
Yes. And this is why we love professional wrestling.
Yes.
Correct.
Now the entrances are over, we get to the introductions. Rhea with hardly not even nearly as many tattoos as she has now.
Yeah.
Jeez.
It's like, I like watching stuff like that. Like, you go back and you watch, like, 2008, 2009 Randy Orton, and he's got, like, a couple tattoos, and you look at him now, he's all sleeved out. I like Charlotte's gear. And not just for the Felix the Cat moment either. I think it's really nice looking gear. There's our champion, Rob. She's so happy.
Oh my God.
She's so happy. She's look so at little. Her. She's so tiny. It's so cute.
And she's so adorable. I know.
She is. You know what, though? We can joke about it. Nikki Cross can goddamn wrestle.
Yeah, I'm she's another one of those people. She looks.
That's why this even got a shot, because she can go.
Yeah, I mean, look, she's another one of those people. If she was 5 inches taller, we'd be having a different conversation.
Right, right.
Oh, yeah.
Charlotte taking her time, controlling the pace.
No.
Nope.
Get out. Let the grown-ups fight here.
Let the grown-ups, right. Wait a minute. I'm the champion here. And Nikki fired up. Nikki Ash taking control early on. Oh, nope. Charlotte just shut that down.
Just chucked her down to the floor.
Now, two women with incredible chemistry. These Charlotte and Rhea have never not torn the house down.
Yeah.
They're so good together. Because, again, Charlotte's somebody that has to sell for Rhea just because Rhea's size, and it's one of those things where she can go in there and go lick for lick with her, and she can muscle Rhea around, Rhea can muscle her around, and it's legit and believable.
And here's our champion again. Our scrappy underdog.
Yep. Would you get out? Oh, Charlotte throws her right into Rhea.
That was amazing.
Charlotte's back in control.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now Rhea's taking over. Nope.
Jesus.
I love how this is back and forth. Like, nobody has been in, like, solid control yet.
Yeah.
Like, Charlotte gets a little, then Nikki gets a little, then Rhea gets a little. It's good booking.
And not honest.
Squash. I'm going to hit a woman with another woman.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. That could have gone disastrously.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Here we go. Riptide coming. Nope. Mickey turns it over. Oh, Rhea got all of that boot in the mush, man.
Yeah.
Oh. And she busted her lip, too. That was such good stuff. Charlotte and Rhea going back and forth.
They hit each other so hard.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, these two don't take anything from each other. It's all go, no quit.
Yeah.
I love a good Northern Lights suplex. That's probably one of my top three favorite moves. Rhea's out of the ring. Rhea's back in the ring. And Charlotte deposits her back on the outside.
He is not back in the ring. Oh, and Nikki's back.
Here's our champ. Nope. Maybe not.
Well.
Last gasp of a desperate woman. Nope, she didn't get it.
Uh-oh.
What are we doing here? Uh-oh.
Oh, God.
That was great.
Yeah.
Almost thinking for a minute that they might do the thing with Rhea here.
Oh, yeah.
And what's interesting is a lot of people, if they're really hot on somebody, like fan-wise, you take Rhea Ripley, Rhea Ripley should, in the eyes of many people, win a major championship her first 90 days on the roster. But you look at this Rhea Ripley here, and while she's really good, compare her to what she is now, and they're not even the same person. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're not. And that's why timing is so important, and letting these people mature and not just rushing them right to the finish line before they're ready. Because now, with Rhea Ripley, she's, fully formed and amazing. Ugh.
Here we go. Big comeback, right?
Yep, big comeback. She's fired up. She's hit the special button. Remote.
The hero spot. Oh, we got Thanos in the ring.
Nikki's about to finish business.
Oh, here we go. Nope. Uh-oh.
Nope, they're going to double team. They're going to double team the queen. They've got her up for a double suplex.
Oh.
Nope. Charlotte turns it into a double DDT. And this crowd in some spots is on their feet for Charlotte Flair.
I thought nobody liked her.
You'd think that the 11 people on the internet that don't like her would have you believe that nobody does. This really was a good match.
Yeah, they're going to town, man. It's really well put together.
Yeah. Nikki looked good. Rhea looked good. Charlotte looked good. This was really well done. You get out again.
Oh, Nikki out. Oh, God.
Wow.
I always cringe when Rhea lands on her feet.
Yeah, I legit thought Rhea blew something out there. I legit thought she was going to hurt herself there.
Yeah.
She's selling it like she did now.
Yeah, she needs to stop doing that, landing on her. I mean, if you're going to, because I get scared whenever she does that.
Yeah, the physics of it just doesn't look good.
All right, this is going up.
Out of the outside. Is her.
Oh, that's the one where she almost hit the barricade.
Yeah. Yep. Look, I gotta give Nikki credit. She stood in there. She took that whole thing.
She did. Nikki got the worst end of that.
Yeah. Dude, she got that thing right down Broadway.
Yeah, Charlotte almost hits the barricade. It's like, there's not a lot of room for error here. And Charlotte's so long-limbed.
Nikki takes the whole thing. Probably. It was like, if I move, she's going to hit the barricade. Nikki Cross, good at wrestling.
Oh, yeah. Like, she's slick in the ring, man. She really is.
She's so good, man. Oh, yeah. This thing.
Yeah, she doesn't use this enough anymore, and I think she should. It's like I popped when Big E brought back the stretch muffler.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
that's awesome. Not enough people do the stretch muffler anymore, man. Now Charlotte's in it. This match went longer than I thought it was going to. Uh-oh.
Here we go. Locking it in.
Locks it in quick, too. Can't waste any time with Rhea. You got to cinch that thing in.
Oh.
Nikki from the top. Uh-oh.
Saving the day. Here we go. Her super move. What was it called?
Is it neck breaker, I think?
Yeah, I don't know what she called it, but it was a neck breaker. It was a not the crossroads.
Yeah.
Oh. And Rhea is out of the ring. It leaves our champion and our challenger one-on-one.
The way she dropped out of the ring, dude, you might as well have added, like, the Smash Brothers explosion. She just, like, there was not a nerve firing in her body.
Nope, just dead weight. Just slugged right out of the ring. Nikki to the top. Charlotte says no thank you. Here we go.
No. Give up. Now, you're not going to give up.
And now it's all over but the crying.
Hang in there, Nikki. Hang in there, Nikki. You can do it. You can reach the ropes. You can reach the ropes, Nikki. You can do it. Come on, Nikki. Yeah. Hang in there. Don't tap. Nah, she taps.
Order was restored to the universe that day.
Sick, sick man.
Charlotte Thanos snapped her fingers and order was restored. That was a good match. That was a good call, Rob.
Thank you. Thank
aside you. From the obvious reasons for you, that match was fire. All right. Well, I think that'll do it for our watch-alongs tonight. I had a lot of fun. I hope everybody watching did or listening to us did, too. Going to go back around the room. Rob, any final thoughts?
So the rest of this month, it's going to be pretty busy. We got... this weekend we got, Heatwave and Forbidden Door. And next weekend we got Clash in Paris. And so, again, this is, there's a lot of stuff going on, but this is a fun time to be a fan. And again, if you're at all curious about TNA, this is the time. Go check it out.
Yeah.
And that's it for me.
All right. Jason, any parting shots before we go?
No, I mean, WWE announced the first show on ESPN, WrestlePalooza. Rob is right. We have a special time ahead of us when Adam Schefter is going to be reporting on WWE.
That's a big deal.
Oh, this is amazing. This is an amazing time to be alive, guys.
We are going to talk about all that stuff next week. The next 30 days of pro wrestling is just crazy. No matter what brand you prefer, no matter what brand you like or watch, we are all about to get fed over the summer as we head into the fall. And the Mindless Wrestling Podcast is going to be here to talk about all of it. I'm DJ for Rob and Jason. Thank you all for listening to the 258th edition. And before we get out of here, Robert, I wanted to hit you with the most bizarre time loop ever. So you said this match that we just watched was about the beginning of our podcast journey. And if you asked me 6 hours ago how long I've been podcasting, I would have said with Jason and Rob, 3.5 years. I started the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, what actually began as the Mindless Musings Podcast, July 17th of 2020, over 5 years ago. Rob came on board the next month, and it was like a kind of like a one-off thing because I was trying to test the waters of having a co-host. Rob and I had been on his show. I think we were on there with Ray Cash. And so I had Rob on, we were talking a little bit, Rob came back the next episode, and then it was Rob and I for the remainder of that year. Jason came on board in January of 21. And that just blows my mind that we are coming up on starting our 5th year as a podcast in January of 2026. That is crazy to me. January of 21, we had Jason on as a guest host, and he was a guest host for almost 2.5 years before we finally gave him the job.
That's how it worked, yeah.
So for those of you who have been along for the ride for 248 episodes over almost 5 years, we thank you, we appreciate you, we love you. Remember, you can call it pro wrestling, you can call it sports entertainment, you can call it whatever you want, but call it in the ring, and we are out of here until next week.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.